Hey guys, welcome to the Spate Waterlaird Rugby World Cup preview show. We've done something like this before with Super Rugby, but now with the biggest tournament in the world about to take place over the next few months, we had to get amongst it. And yes, I have even managed to get the lad Surly from Surly Talk Sport to help me talk through all these games and what's about to come. He's even heading over to France to pick up on the atmosphere and get all the insights as well. Whatever we need, he's there for us. He is the true lad. Welcome, Surly.
Yeah, cheers for having me. Yeah, look, when you offered the gig, I thought, you know, we need someone on the ground, so I'll take that role on my shoulders, fly over. The wife, she wasn't sold, so she decided to come too. So a little bit of carry-on luggage there, but it'll still be a great trip.
When do you fly off?
Friday morning heading over. Got a couple days in Nice before heading to Paris to get amongst that first game.
Oh, mate. So you're going to be missing the WAS home finals. I know that's going to be a huge sacrifice for you, but doing it for the cause?
Yeah, to be fair, when the draw came out, rookie mistake from me. I forgot she was a 27-week regular season this year. Obviously, Redcliffe have come in, the extra buys, so it blows it out. Normally, that first weekend of September is grand final week, so I thought I'd be here for the whole of it, but have spoken to the wife. If the lads are in the grand final, I'm leaving 2 days early, going straight to Sydney. So I can't wait. Got my ticket as well, so I'm ready to go.
Wow, that's a huge call. So Ed, what game would you be missing at the World Cup?
I'll be missing that final pool game.
Oh, okay.
So I'll be flying straight. The wife will be flying back to Auckland. We'll be saying our goodbyes at Dubai, and I'll be heading over to Sydney.
Oh, that is huge. And what do you reckon? Like, obviously, you're doing the One Warriors podcast at the moment. If you are listening, you haven't checked that out, go have a listen to that. Surly at his best talking to some of the great Warriors. But have you found it? Have you found this year with the Warriors? Obviously, what a year from the lads.
Oh, it's been crazy. Like, obviously, been doing the podcast with them unofficially for a couple years as well. It's crazy what wins do. Obviously, people really jump on board. I feel like this Up the WAS movement has created a massive audience as well. But yeah, the boys are going great guns. They're getting the wins. And as a result, people are showing up. So it's a pretty cool feeling at the moment. I feel like they've almost stolen the limelight off the All Blacks a bit. But like, maybe that's our job to get the boys back on.
Yeah, Up the WAS, but also Up the ABs. So we will get straight into talking Rugby World Cup, and I'm guessing the best place to start is the last round of warm-ups, and we'll start with the All Blacks versus South Africa. Not a great lead-in game for the All Blacks, but I guess better now than in a few weeks.
Yeah, it was pretty disappointing, wasn't it? Obviously woke up Saturday morning. I love that time slot too. That was great rather than the Sunday, because obviously, you know, brought to you by Spates, we like having a couple summits on a Saturday night, so rolled into this one fresh. But yeah, fair to say, I thought I was in a bit of a nightmare, mate.
Yeah, no good, eh? Like, even from the start, like, they were under the pump heavily early. South Africa just put them under all sorts of pressure, camped right in their 22. Discipline was costly for the All Blacks, and they just couldn't really get out of it.
Yeah, I think we saw that South African forward pack really with a chip on their shoulder. Like, when we played them back at Mount Smart, well, almost a month ago now probably, it looked like we had the start that every team wants. You know, we came out the gates firing. Then that second half, they kind of pegged us back once they brought on your Malcolm Marks and co. And I think from this game, we kind of saw their best forward pack right from the opening whistle. And geez, they're a scary side, aren't they?
Yeah, they've got a massive pack, and pretty much two massive packs going the 7-1 split.
Yeah.
Very unusual in rugby to go a 7-1 split. So they brought their whole second pack on, pretty much barring one, on about the 45 minutes. So a complete change of forward packs, and just both packs are pretty much as damaging as each other.
Yeah, it's crazy. Obviously, our loose forward trio probably isn't the biggest going round, but pound to pound, you back us. You know, Sam Kane, Artie, Jacobson, we really did miss Frizzell just for that size factor. But they're strong blokes. Like, getting round Super Rugby, they dominate. But once you chuck them up against the South African forward pack on their day, you just notice that difference, the extra kind of 10 kilos and a bit of height can make, especially at set piece time. I thought our line out, it'll be worrying for Ryan. Like, obviously, he's done a massive job coming in and really kind of overturning the way the four pack's operating. But I'd say that they would have got the spray of doom after that game.
And that sort of goes on to the game. I just felt it was so stop start. I felt like the referee was into everything. Obviously, a lot of those decisions are fair, but You can literally call any breakdown a penalty if you want. So just trying to find that flow a little bit better. I feel like the refs are going to play a massive part. Hopefully not, and hopefully the TMO can stay out of it. I'd love to see both those tries awarded. I feel like if the ref has a concern with the try, then he can go up to the upstairs. But I hate seeing a TMO check everything over the last four phases to make sure there wasn't a knock-on or a slight offside or something, because you're going to find it pretty much every time. I would have loved to have seen that South African try awarded, and I would have loved to have seen Will Jordan's try awarded as well. Going back with a TMO checking it just doesn't sit too well with me. I feel like you lose the moments of the game.
Oh, 100%. I think like at halftime, I almost had to decompress, and I felt like it took forever. And then I think the Sky team mentioned that it was 60-odd minutes to play 40 minutes of rugby. Like, that's really tough, both as a fan and as a player, especially for the All Blacks. I feel like we play our best footy when it's an up-tempo game. We're able to move teams around the paddock. And with those dual pivots, Richie and Bodie, we just want to play eyes up and move the ball into space. And fatigue's a big factor out of that. So when it's so stop-starty and these big opposition packs are getting time to rest, just makes so hard to get on the front foot. So yeah, I feel like referees, injuries, all those kind of things are going to play a massive part in this World Cup. You just really hope it doesn't determine who wins the thing, because we all want to see some good running rugby. I think everyone around the world does. So hopefully that's the way it plays out. But yeah, that was a tough watch.
Yeah, and I think that is what most teams are going to try and do against All Blacks, like you said, when they've got quick ball and they're playing on top like they were at Mount Smart against South Africa. The difference between that compared to the weekend when it was slow, stop, start, going set piece to set piece. I think that's the formula most teams will try and beat the All Blacks with. So I guess it's about them coming up with a plan when teams try and do that, how they can keep that tempo in the game and make sure they're playing with that freedom and quick ball that they sort of need to find points.
For sure. How much of that weekend do you think, because a few people have brought it up, like All Blacks just holding things back, they don't want to show their cards too much. Like, do you think that played a big factor? Do you think the lads were holding back a lot of things, or do you just think South Africa were up for it and wanted it a bit more?
Yeah, it's an interesting one, and it's the same as like all sort of preseason games. You don't hold back your shapes and your defensive structures and all that, because you need to sort of get the reps at those. But you'd hold back potential launch first phase moves that you've got that you think you might score against them. I think you'd come up with obviously a whole new lineup menu as well. Those sort of things that you're changing more often. But the big nuts and bolts of your game, the defense structures and the attacking shape, they'll all be the same. So there was a fair few concerns there, but they're all pretty easily fixed. So I'm still pretty confident heading into the World Cup with them, to be fair. If you're saying who's going to win it, I think there's so many cases you can put forward for all the other sides. And we'll get there at the back end of this podcast on who we think's going to win and where it's all going to finish. But we'll move on to the next game, which was Samoa versus Ireland. Now, Samoa, they are going to be a team that are going to be tough to beat in this competition. Physical, and got some talent in that back line now too.
Oh, big time. It looked like Brian Lima was the tackling coach. The Irish were getting folded in half, left, right and centre. You sent me that photo of Bundy Arkeed, traps of doom. The bloke shredded out of his mind, but I think, geez, no one wants to run into that Samoan side. That's natural, just power and muscle. And I think we see how good it is to have Lima Sopoanga there. Like, we see the benefit of having a world-class first five, just to kind of a cooler head with a lot of international experience to steer around this team. He makes a massive difference. I thought during that Pacific Nations Cup that them and Fiji kind of stole the limelight from Tonga, who rocked up with a really star-studded lineup. Yeah. So I'm excited to see Samoa go about their work, and I wouldn't be surprised if, I think their last pool game's up against England, there could be a fair bit riding on that one.
Yeah, that's going to be a massive game, eh? Obviously, England have been struggling. They struggled against Fiji in the weekend, but I do like what I saw from Samoa on the weekend. Obviously, the great coach Andrew Goodman, who's been on Waterlad before, he's running a lot of their attack, and I could see a lot of their shape looking really good. And Ireland struggled with it, especially when they got some of their big boys through the line. And one guy who impressed me was the fullback Duncan. Now, excuse my pronunciation of his last name, but Paya Aua, who plays for Toulon. But man, he was impressive from the back. I liked a lot of his game.
Yeah, you don't want to kick him ball, do you? He's pretty deadly. And like, you need that in these levels. You need guys that are game breakers, but also have the fundamentals about their game. Because so often, kind of Samoa's downfall has been their want to express themselves, but also not getting the timing right in terms of the games. Like often they're in these tussles, the game's in the balance and they'll just try razz it up. But yeah, it looks like they've got that great balance of like strike power. They've got some nut truckers and some hard workers in there, and then they got Sapawanga to guide them around the paddock. So yeah, it's really exciting for the odd. I'd love to see them get out of the pool. It would just be a massive story.
Yeah, how good would that be? And you mentioned Sapawanga. I think you're right. His game driving ability has been something they've missed over the years. So his ability to step up and guide that team around in big games is going to be crucial for them. And they've got the likes of Ben Lamb still to return onto a wing. We've seen what he can do at Super Rugby. He's an incredible finisher, tough man to tackle. So and the loose forward trio, oh, man, they've got Talfour coming off the bench and Stephen Luatua. They've got X Factor everywhere as well. So, yeah, wouldn't want to be playing Samoa in the pool phase, to be fair.
No. What did you make of Ireland? Because obviously it wasn't their best side. They made quite a few changes, but still you'd expect them, they head in amongst the kind of top two, top three favourites. Do you kind of expect them to look a little bit more clinical than what they did?
Yeah, I did going into that game, but on reflection, I guess it wasn't the worst result over the weekend. They still managed to grind out a good win, and it, like you said, it wasn't their full-strength side, and I do think there is a little bit of a depth gap between their strongest side and their second-string side. We saw that sort of for Leinster. Once they get back the likes of Jamison Gibson-Park and Jonathan Sexton, who will be back pretty soon, I think. So yeah, once you get a couple of key guys like that back, I think we'll see a different Ireland team, and I still see them as probably the team to beat, them and France, along with the All Blacks. I think, yeah, it's going to be a hell of a World Cup, that's for sure. But we'll get to the next game, England and Fiji. We knew Fiji could play. We've loved Fiji from ever since the Drua back in the days, yeah, haven't we? Good to see Harbossi back out there on the wing causing all sorts of havoc, which we knew he would 2 years ago. But England, man, they're in all sorts of trouble at the moment. Heaps of pressures come on Borthwick, and the public seem to be right into them.
Yeah, for sure. I think friend of the show, Nick Evans, will be glad he's not in that setup at the moment, because I'd say they're under the pump, right? Even Eddie Jones probably feels like he's got a weight off his shoulders with Aussie, because people almost didn't expect this from England. So, yeah, they're up against it. I love Fiji. Mentioned before, Pacific Nations Cup, I thought they were real standouts, and I've been telling people they'd beat Wales game one, which kind of has me worried now, because they were going in underdogs and now people yeah, semi-expect it. So, yeah, it's all go. But it's just great to see Fiji, again, another side that in the past looked like they maybe lacked a bit of direction and big game experience. But now with the Drua, I think their introduction has been massive. Obviously, you guys, the Crusaders, went to Fiji this year and they were able to claim that scalp. Like things like that to your confidence, just knowing that you can beat these top tier sides. And then the amount of quality players they have playing in Europe, it's almost like a home World Cup for a lot of their stars. So it's incredibly exciting. England in turmoil, but as an All Blacks fan, you love to see it. That's probably the one team, them and Aussie, that I would love to see panic. So it's great stuff.
Yeah, mate, you mentioned them being favourites. They are now ranked the highest out of their pool. So they're ranked higher than Wales, Australia. They are the favourites to finish top of their pool, which was incredible if you thought about that at the start of last year. But they've done it and they deserve it. And one player who's stood out for me is Munts at 10. Someone I felt like who's really stepped up to international footy. He's running a really good cutter, guiding the team well. The likes of Rajra outside him, who's, man, what a beast that man is. And they've got, obviously, strike weapons everywhere across the back line. So they've always had that, and it's that 10. And Lamani as well, who I thought was one of the standouts in Super Rugby. The combination between Munts and Lamani, for me, has been the difference between Fiji this year and Fiji of previous.
Yeah, that's a good call. And I saw when they announced the squad, there was a lot of kind of controversy over in Fiji about no Ben Vulavula, because for so long he's been that 10, that pivot pulling the strings for them. But at the moment, anyway, it certainly looks like that selection was justified. And man, how good would it just be for Fiji and rugby? Like, I can only imagine the scenes over there on the weekend when they got that historical win. It would have been unreal to be over and amongst the locals, because if there's a nation that loves their footy, you know, All Blacks, South Africa, we all love our code, but the Fijians are right up there.
It's so different over there. It's so cool to see them succeed. Obviously, we like you said, we lost to them over there. It was one of those moments where you instantly gutted, but then you look around and you see what it means to the whole of the crowd and the whole of the country, and you just sort of brings a bit of reality to it, and you sort of appreciate what it means to them. And yeah, if Fiji can top their pool and go into a quarter final, advance to a semi or a final, it'd be absolutely magical. So yeah, I'm on the bandwagon to jump on. I'd love to see a Fiji New Zealand final. That would be, I don't know how the draws work actually, I need to work that out, but could be possible.
Yeah, I think it is possible. I think they're on that other side that kind of everyone was saying looked easier, but now with the teams kind of the gap closing, on the rankings it looks easier, but those teams are in for a heck of a battle.
Yeah, they are for sure. And the next game we've got to speak about is Aussie and France. France just far too good for Aussie. Eddie, like you said, he's under the pump. Might not be as much as Borthwick, but he's still heavily under the pump.
Oh, Eddie Jones. What a guy. He's almost like that. Just he's the entertainment factor. The game's secondary. Like you just tune in to see him, what he's going to dish up during the week. And he's trying all his tricks, you know. He's trying to have a go at reporters just to chuck the attention off the boys, but it's not working. He even tried to bring in old mate Sir Steve, but I think Shag one-upped him, you know. I think he went in Trojan horse and really threw a cat amongst the pigeons, and it resulted in a France 13-plus win. I was calling for the reverse knighthood, and we un-Sir Shag. But now after that shift, I think we saw one of the great Trojan horses. We double it now. So, yeah, man, crazy. But I think it was more France. They're a good football side rather than Australia being really bad. I actually thought Aussie were pretty all right in patches. Mm. It's just that the French are a genuine team. No Intermac, but I think people kind of thought that him and DuPont were just the keys to victory, but they've got depth at 10. They've got other kicking options, and with DuPont there, they're every bit of a chance.
Mate, how good is that guy? He is the best player on the planet for me. Okay. He is freakish.
That one try where I think he just dropped it on his bad foot for a crossfield kick at halfback, and it was just pinpoint perfect. Like, I'm lucky to do that on the good foot, mate. I'll be partying for weeks if I pulled that off on my right leg, let alone the left. So, he's another 10, and he's one of the best 10s almost. So that's such a luxury for them. And that forward pack can certainly roll up their sleeves too. So, yeah, everyone says Ireland and France. I definitely think those are the two main threats. South Africa as well, we'll get into that. But, yeah, the French at home. Oh, that first game, I'm so excited already.
Yeah, mate, can't believe you're going to be there. And what do you make of Aussie? Like, you mentioned they were better than the scoreline sort of suggested.
Yeah, I think they are, but I don't think they're good enough to really kind of threaten these top teams. Like, I think, they're good enough to beat some of the lower-ranked sides, but, I can't see them being a genuine contender. A lot of people are saying that because of the easier side of the draw, they'll be there or thereabouts come finals time. I'm not so convinced. I still struggle with some of these selections, like no Quade, etc. I don't know. I'm a Quade Cooper fan. I actually rate what he brings to this side off the bench. But, for me, they're kind of there, but not good enough to beat the good sides. What about yourself?
Yeah, I'm thinking the same. Like, I've seen patches of their game and think, man, they can play. I feel like their back line, they've got a nice back line when their pack's working. I love Fraser McWright. I think he's a quality 7. Karevi, and you get the big wing and Mark running with the offload and Fenn going. They've got some strike power all over their back line. And some of their attacking shape's really nice as well, but I just don't feel like they've been consistent enough. And like you say, when the pressure comes on, they have crumbled pretty much every time. So it's going to be interesting, their pull. Obviously Wales, Fiji, Georgia, Portugal as well, but those probably first four are the ones. I don't think they'll have an easy win against any of them.
Oh, I'd love to see them not make it. How good would that be? Oh, no.
Aussie and England out in the pool.
Oh, there we go.
That's your dream, isn't it?
Heard it here first. Yeah, that would be unreal.
And the other game, Italy versus Japan, a little bit more undercover game, but Italy pumped Japan. I don't think Japan are the team they were 4 years ago. I feel like they've haven't quite progressed like the other sides have. So it's a shame to see. I loved watching Japan and winding them home at their home World Cup, but looks like it's going to be a bit more of a tougher year for them this year.
Yeah, it is a shame. Obviously, like, that was the kind of fairy tale story of the last World Cup, and as a result, the game over there saw some massive growth. But, I don't know. You just wonder, like, now that they're no longer in Super Rugby, do you think that that's had an effect on their quality of play as well? Because, the timing's kind of ironic. They were in Super Rugby playing some great code as a result. Now they've dropped out. Like, do you think that that plays a part in it? Quality competition each week against, like, your New Zealand and Australia sides?
That's an interesting point, because especially when we speak about Fiji as well and how the growth of their game, even Samoa to an extent with Moana in there, the growth of their international sides compared to Japan over the past few years has been significant. So it's got to have something to do with it. Even if it's not their star players, it's the rest of the guys in behind who are learning about professional rugby, and when they're given the opportunity at this level, they're ready to step up. So I think you make a valid point there. I think that's a big part of it. And what do you make of Italy? Are they a chance in their pool? Obviously, they pumped Japan, but New Zealand and France, can't see them going close against either of them, can you?
No, I think maybe if they were in that kind of pool with Aussie and England, those teams like that, then possibly. I just think New Zealand and France are going to be a class above. But in saying that, Italy, they did beat Aussie last year, and we've seen them take some steps forward. So they're no longer that side that you go up against and you think, 70-80-0, give the lads a rest. Like, I think we're going to have to respect them for at least 40 minutes of that game to kind of get a head start and put them away before we roll the bench. I think they have come on in leaps and bounds, but they're not quite at that next tier yet.
Agree. I don't think they can beat us, but if we lose that first game to France, it'll be quite nervous times going into that Italy game, both teams having a lot to play for, playing for that second spot. I think would be too good for them, but like you say, they are capable of an upset. So, hopefully we get the job done in that France one, so it's an easy watch for the rest of the pool games, because we will go through those pool predictions now. We'll go through pool A, which is obviously France, New Zealand, Italy, Uruguay and Namibia. I can't see Namibia or Uruguay posing much of a threat. Those are the ones, if they do want to rest players, those will be the ones I'd imagine. And then getting up for the two big ones, which will be France and it will be Italy. They will go full strength against those guys 100%.
Yeah, I feel like, every World Cup we take on Italy and we take on Namibia. Like, is that a given? Is that just mandatory when you roll into World Cups? All Blacks, Italy, Namibia, the rest kind of fall in from there. But yeah, I agree, France and the All Blacks. Hopefully All Blacks in one, France in two.
So obviously that first game, you're predicting the All Blacks to beat France.
Yeah, I am. I think we'll get up for this one. I think the whole narrative around it is kind of perfect now. Like, you see, it cracks me up as New Zealand, as a sporting nation, a week ago, 2 weeks ago, we were home and hose, winning the World Cup, best side ever. Come Saturday at midday, the world was ending, panic stations galore, everyone was calling for Fozzie gone again. It's just chaos. But I think we will beat the French in the first game, and then everyone will get really carried away again. How about yourself? Do you reckon we'll rock up, get the win?
Or I hope so. I probably hope more than confidence. I think it's going to be a hell of a game, and I can almost see that being the final again, to be fair. Yeah, it's going to be a hell of a game. Hopefully your support being there can wind the boys home. I think, atmosphere is going to be incredible. French have a big pack. They would have saw what the South Africans did to the Kiwis, but they've obviously got the guys like Dupont and the backs who can play. Dante at 12, great players, so it's going to be a hell of a game. I'm going to come with you, jump on the All Black prediction and say that they're going to finish top, but obviously not surprised at all if we finish second. And then that draw, this is where the pools come into play. We'll be playing either Ireland, South Africa or Scotland, either way. So wherever we finish, it's going to be a hell of a quarterfinal anyway.
Yeah.
Pool B, South Africa, Ireland, Scotland, Tonga and Romania. What are you predicting here? Who's your two?
That is a deadly pull, because I really like Scotland. And about a month ago, I was doing some futures, and I put them to beat South Africa. Obviously, after the weekend now, I'm a little more nervous because South Africa looked really good.
Yeah.
But I like Scotland. I like what they're about. With Finn Russell at the 10, like, he's one of my favourite players to watch, just because
look alike too. Guys.
He can walk for like 10 minutes and then just turn something on. Like, I wish I could turn something on. I've got the walking in my game. I don't have to turn something on. But he's just so fun to watch. So I like the Scottish. I hope they can beat South Africa first up and them and Ireland could get out of that pool. That would be unreal. But I think South Africa and Ireland will be the two to advance. But I wouldn't be surprised if all those teams kind of drop one game, or the big three anyway, your Scotland, your Ireland, your South Africa. They kind of beat each other and then it comes down to points differential, all that kind of jazz.
Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised if you get the old Finn Russell lookalike tag over there in France. I reckon people will be getting photos with you. Jeez, that's a dead ringer.
Mate, I'll claim that, absolutely. Obviously, skill level, ability, quite different. Maybe I should buy like a Scotland polo from the merch shop and just really try and milk it, you know, get on the field and the works.
I reckon you're capable. But yeah, like you say, I've been loving the way Scotland been playing. Finn out the back, pulling the trigger. They've got some great backs, some forwards who work hard, and their D structure's really nice. So South Africa, we saw what they can do on the weekend. They love the test match footy as well. Big pack, box kick. They love that game, and they have the backs and talent that can score from anywhere as well. And obviously Ireland rate them very highly. I think Ireland would finish first, South Africa second. And unfortunately, Scotland miss out, even though they're probably the fifth best team in the World Cup, don't even make the quarterfinals.
Yeah, what's your thoughts on how far out they do the draw? Like, to me, looking at these pools, it is a bit of a shame now because obviously things can change over the course of a year or two. Would you like to see them move it a little closer, the draw? Obviously, it's all a logistical type of thing, but I feel like you could still pull it together maybe a year out rather than a couple years out.
Yeah, whatever doesn't get in the way of the logistics, make it as close to the tournament as possible, I reckon. So then you do have a really even split. You're not having pools so lopsided. But in saying that, it's also brought a whole new dimension to the competition, hasn't it? You've got one incredibly stacked pool with three teams who could all go on and win the competition in one pool, and one is not even going to make the quarterfinals. So yeah, there's a lot of different things to talk about with it as well. So I know it's disappointing. It would be good to see the best teams make the quarterfinals, but it also brings a little bit more excitement into the pool plays. So
Good shout.
Pool C, Wales, Australia, Fiji, Georgia, Portugal. Now, we've spoken about this. Fiji are now the number one ranked side in this pool, followed by, I think, Wales, is it? And then Australia?
Yeah, I think so.
And then Georgia's just next in line with them. I haven't watched much of Georgia, to be honest, over the last 4 years, but they've been knocking on the Six Nations door for a while, wanting a crack. They've beaten Italy a few times. They can play.
Yeah, they can play. I haven't watched much of their top side, but I've watched quite a lot of their under-20s side in those World Cups. And, geez, they are an emerging beast, man. Like, we talk about big packs. Geez, they're as big as they come. They love a scrum, love some set-piece stuff. And I mentioned some nut truckers before. They just roll up the sleeves and they just go straight. They don't change direction for anyone. So definitely keep an eye out for them. I think maybe this World Cup's maybe 4 years too soon in terms of getting out of their pool, but they will push people. Mm. I still think Fiji beat Wales first up. So we'll start there. I do think maybe they drop a game, though, to Aussie or, geez, I wouldn't be surprised if they lost to Georgia, just as a typical type of loss to them. But, I'm going Wales and Fiji to get out. Why not?
Yeah, fair enough. I'm going to go Fiji to top the pool. I think they will. Like you say, I wouldn't be overly surprised if they lost to a Georgia. Georgia, heavy pack, very different game style. Fiji could also completely blitz them away with some magical tries, but could be a lot closer than people are probably expecting. But I do think Australia will progress. I've seen just enough in their game. I've seen more in their game than Wales, and I think they will go through. But, yeah, tough pull again.
Hey, so no Wales. Fair.
No Wales for me, but yeah, such small margins, obviously, in any rugby game, but these big international games, such small margins obviously decide these games and decide the World Cup. So when the teams are so even like these pools are, it's only going to be a small margin that will decide whether they progress to the finals or not. And we will go to Pool D, England, Japan, Argentina, Samoa and Chile. So Japan were ranked obviously the second best team in the pool. I think they are now the fourth ahead of Chile. which I don't, to be fair, I don't know much about the Chile international rugby side either. You know many of their 20s boys as well.
Nah, I haven't been watching their 20s, mate. I'm not that much of a code pig. Obviously love my footy, but you'd have to go on some pretty rogue streaming sites to find the Chilean under 20s, I think. But it's great to see them in the World Cup.
Yeah,
you know, that's just an achievement in itself, and we need teams like this coming up and playing. Like, if we want to be a truly global game, which we always talk about, then I'm all for it.
Yeah,
it's great stuff.
Massive, and hopefully all the Chilean fans are tuning in to the preview show, and throughout the tournament we can start giving you a little bit more insight into your national side.
Oh, it would be a huge nod to be the number one rugby pod in Chile. Like, I'm all about that. So whatever we need to do to make it happen, let's pull some strings, mate.
Yeah, okay. New goals, that's it. Number one rugby pod in Chile. Okay, let's see where we get to. Okay, who's progressing?
I think Argentina beat England first up. I'm confident about that one. They get the win there. Then England versus Samoa, that last game decides who goes through. I think England probably get through, but just, and it's going to be incredibly tight. Would love to see Samoa, but yeah, I'm using my head. I'm going to go Argentina top it, England second.
Yeah, I like that, and I can't argue. My heart obviously says Argentina and Samoa. Samoa top the pool, Argentina just qualify, but realistically, although England have been disappointing, you look at their squad and you're like, how are these guys struggling? Like, they have a really strong squad. They got some quality players. They got a massive player pool to choose from. They've got depth everywhere, but they just haven't got their game going at all. Surely they find something, but also wouldn't be gutted if they don't.
Yeah, oh, likewise. I think Farrell coming back for kind of that last pool game will get them over the line. But, yeah, I think Argentina beat them first up for sure. And then, geez, the English press will be going hard for them. They have to get out of this pool or else it's going to be chaos, because this is considered pretty much a home or very close to a home World Cup for them. They're just a stone's throw away. So if they don't make it out of pool play, chaos.
Yeah, there'll be a lot of English fans over there too, winding them home. So you're right about that. It will be have that sort of home feel about it. But no doubt you'll be cheering for whoever is playing against them.
Yeah, I'm actually half English. Hopefully my mum's not listening to this, but the other side I do not like any sport. So, yeah, there we go, mate. We've turned on it. I've never used the passport, so I don't claim it, you know. It's just in my genes, but not in my heart.
Okay, so our predictions is New Zealand, France qualify, South Africa, Ireland, Fiji, Australia, and you've gone Wales, and England, Argentina. They're the ones qualifying, so we'll get to the quarterfinals as we get a little bit closer. But what's your biggest concern about the Rugby World Cup? What's something that's on your mind potentially? What's going to stop this Rugby World Cup from being the best ever?
Yeah, I think it is going to be this whole refereeing thing. Hopefully it's like a case of what we see in rugby in the past, where come the big games, the referees kind of put the whistle away and they don't make some of the decisions they do. But I think it is going to be the refereeing, the TMOs, like some of these shots that we see, it is contact to the head, and like by the rule book, yeah, sure, guys get suspended. But a lot of the times when you're thinking with common sense and as someone that's played the game at that level, you'd probably know more than me, but a lot of it, like, there's no intent there. So I hope they start making these decisions with that in mind. But yeah, you just have the feeling it's going to be something that happens off the field, a suspension or not player related. It's going to be someone with the whistle or a TMO. I really hope I'm wrong though.
Yeah, mate, me too. I think the biggest one for me is that TMO involvement. I felt like previously there has been like way too much of him jumping in. Like I was saying before, how he's checking everything, even though the ref had no issue with the try, the TMO's checking everything just to make sure, basically to see if he can find something or find a reason why not to give the try. So I don't like that in the game, and I thought they found the balance really well in Super Rugby, where they'd only go up if the referee suspected something, so he'd tell the TMO to check if he felt something wasn't quite right, a try or foul play. But when the TMO's checking everything the whole game, he's going to find all sorts of head collisions, all sorts of mistakes which have cost tries. So you just lose that flow. So that's the big one for me. Hopefully the TMO can stay as least involved as possible.
Yeah, I'd almost rather cop a couple wrong decisions and just have the game flow rather than it just be stopped. Like, obviously, referees, they do their best. They're only human. They make mistakes like the players do. So I'd rather cop like a missed small knock-on at the base of a ruck or something that a try's then scored four phases later. Like, they're still good enough to score the try. So I'd rather that than 62 minutes to play 40 minutes of code.
100%. And I think that South Africa game was a perfect example with the Moody try and the Will Jordan try. Two pretty special tries, pretty special moments in the game, but both disallowed because the TMO's gone back, found a guy a metre offside and a pretty loose ruck, and Mark Talia's minor knock-on, which no one else even noticed till the TMO scanning the footage. So, yeah, I'm with you. Just award the try. If the ref's unsure, then he can send it upstairs. But hopefully the TMO stays out of it. What is the most exciting part of the Rugby World Cup for you?
Oh, I just think how close this is going to be. Like, we've already pondered over these games and what's going to happen and who's going to get out of pool play. When you look at least three of the four pools, you can come up with different scenarios for all sorts of people getting out. And like you said before, it's probably a good side of doing the draw so far out is that pool play is a whole lot more exciting than what it used to be in the past. So obviously you've got these five teams in each pool. Pool play takes quite a while, so it's good to have some spice in these games. I think it's going to be the closest one going in ever.
Yeah, agree. I feel like there's way more teams that can win it than you usually go into a Rugby World Cup, and there's no real obvious favourite. I think the bookies have the All Blacks as favourite still, which is pretty surprising for me. But obviously, who else is it? There's like so many teams that could win it.
Yeah, I think if in doubt, you just follow your heart, right? So I think there's a fair bit of that going on and a lot of people convincing ourselves. But look, like you said, us, France, Ireland, South Africa probably, there's on their day that the results can differ so greatly. So it's incredibly exciting as a fan, and that's what you want going in. You want that pressure, that nervousness. Who's going to win this game? How's it going to play out? And all of a sudden you find yourself watching games you probably normally wouldn't watch because every result is a big factor in the outcome.
Yeah, 100%. I think the other thing to add into that is the fans. The French fans are a crew that do it differently. They get in behind. I can't believe you're going to be in part of it. So jealous for you, but I'm stoked you could do that trip for What a Lad. Massive lad. But you're going to be in the mix, singing these songs, waving the flags, whistling, and it's unreal.
Yeah, I've actually sent that invoice through with the costs for the travel. It hasn't been run through your accountant yet, I don't believe. But yeah, at this stage, I'm still going, repping What a Lad. But yeah, we'll hopefully that one comes through shortly.
Surely, get the accountant onto that ASAP. Okay, another prediction I want from you, player of the tournament. Who's going to be the player of the tournament at the end of the comp?
Yeah, this rattled me because it just depends who wins it, I think. And you could go in all sorts of directions. Obviously, the first fives of the star teams are right up there as your nominations. France, Dupont, the nine, obviously. One that I thought was a bit of a smoky, just if South Africa can go all the way, is Khaleesi. Just because he has the story, he has the leadership, he's loved by everyone, and how he came back from an ACL that quickly to be playing rugby the way he is phenomenal. So I wouldn't mind that if South Africa were to win the World Cup, say, but hopefully it's an All Black and maybe our mate Richie
Moe. He's won the Lad Searle Award 2 years in a row at super level. Can he do it on the big stage in potentially his last All Black game?
Is that a scoop?
Well, he's off to Japan for 3 years, so
yeah, true.
Unless they change these rules, it will potentially be his last All Black game. So hopefully not, because I feel like he's still got so much more to give in the All Black jersey. But it would be good to see him head off to Japan with the player of the tournament medal around his neck, because, man, the kid can play, and love to see him have an awesome tournament. But like you say, if France win it, I'm pretty confident player of the tournament will be Dupont. He's just so good. Pinot on the wing, love watching Pinot play, but obviously little bit less involved. Ireland, if Ireland win, I'm pretty sure it's going to be Sexton as well. That guy, he runs the cutter for them. He massive influence on their side. South Africa, I put down one of the forwards, so I can't really put my finger on the South African player of the tournament, but I don't mind that shout of Khaleesi. What a story that would be. But they've got so many massive men in that pack that they could probably choose from. Whoever plays well in that pack, I think, will win it. Yeah. And then the All Blacks, Mwanga. Yeah, I like that shout. Will Jordan, I think, is going to be in for a big year. Artie's always a great shout as well. Scooter Barrett was playing some of the best footy you'll see from someone in a rugby jersey for a long time. Obviously, the red card in the weekend wasn't ideal, but he'll make up for that throughout this competition, I'm pretty sure. And so many guys to choose from in that All Black jersey, so we'll land on Mwanga, eh?
Yeah, why not? Why not? He, like you said, he's got the medals in the cabinet already. He's probably running out of room in his Christchurch estate. He might have to upgrade the trophy cabinet, but... yeah, a couple lad seals and then a player of the World Cup. Yeah. Jeepers.
Mate, I just live across the road from him, so I see his garage and it looks like it is overflowing with trophies. So,
yeah, well, I heard you did the lad seal presentation out on the driveway. The whole community came out. Sausage sizzles the works, mate. It sounds like a heck of a day.
Oh, it's a special community here down in Marshlands. So they all got behind the Marshlands Mayor, they call him, and it was a special day to present him that twice in a row. So
what a guy.
Yeah, awesome if he could win it at the World Cup level as well. And one more prediction I want from you before we finish, just a bold prediction, something that's going to happen that no one else is really expecting, sort of like a Beaver story, or could be anything. Ooh. Could be just a prediction of one of the teams making it further than we expect. Yeah, any bold predictions from the man who knows sport more than anyone else?
Shit, I don't really have a Beaver like. Maybe RTS under the sticks. I was just saying it 3 years too early, and that would be massive, wouldn't it? With Warriors shorts on, but an All Blacks jersey, and he dots down to win the World Cup.
Mate, how many injuries would there have to be for RTS to be playing in the final, you reckon?
Oh, I think they've put a line through him a long time ago, unfortunately. He's playing good code for Auckland, though, isn't he, at the back? So, now that would be great. I think just... oh, we've touched on it a couple of times. I think Aussie don't make it out and Eddie Jones might self-implode. That could be tough. They look sharp off the field. Have you seen their get up, the old suits and the hat?
Yeah, very sharp. I do like it. Suits them. They've done well there. And I feel like they've done a lot of really cool stuff off the field, promoted the game really well. They've used Eddie well for promotion. He just hasn't, unfortunately, backed it up with any results. He's almost spent too much time doing ads and winding up the media and stuff. As a journalist, geez, it would be good fun to go to one of his press conferences, wouldn't it? Just to ask a few dumb questions and wind him right up.
Oh, big time. I feel like you just got to say, like, hey, Eddie, and he'll just explode at you. It would make a heck of a Netflix doco, too, if somehow they found a way to win. Eddie would be a great main character. He's the villain. Everyone's just coming at him. But that one where he told people to uppercut themselves, I feel like the questions weren't even that bad and he just went off his rocker. So yeah, I want to see Aussie not make it out. That would be my best possible outcome. I'd love to see Samoa beat England, but I think the Aussie one's a little more likely. How about yourself? What's your bold prediction? Have you got a white bait, maybe shooter?
No, I do have a semi-white bait sort of story, and my prediction is Ethan Blackadder to start in the Rugby World Cup playoffs. He was back for Tasman in the weekend, played a big 40 minutes. If he can just get his body right for the next couple of weeks and he's back fully fit, I would be surprised if they don't try and get him over there at the flick of the hat. Next injury, he's the next cab off the rank, and I could imagine him playing a big part in the playoffs when we need him. So there's my big bold prediction. But when you're speaking about Eddie Jones, I was almost thinking, I wonder if I can get you a Waterlad press pass so you can go to the press conferences and maybe ask him a few dumb questions. How good would that be?
Oh, mate, I'm all for it. I'll ask. We could get the listeners to put forward the questions. They can be as ridiculous as people want, and I will happily do it. If you can make that press pass happen, because I assume that's a ticket to every game as well, then you've got yourself a deal. But I rate that Blackadder call too, because we are a little short in those positions he can cover, so I don't mind that. And maybe even we see a Moody over there. I don't know how bad Lomax's injury is, but...
yeah, I think Lomax is all right. 30 stitches in his leg, so it was obviously a massive gash. I don't think he'll be playing the first game, but it obviously won't rule him out for the whole World Cup. And
yeah, I'll be out for 6 years, I reckon.
Yeah. Geez, even if a plaster on, I'm out. So 30 stitches, that must have been a massive gash. But I'm glad that he's okay, because that would have been a disaster to not get to go to the World Cup. He's been playing so well, and he's a good man himself. So I do think Moody will be potentially over there at some point too as well. Maybe not start as much as Ethan Blackett in the Rugby World Cup playoffs, but yeah, I think he'll play a part.
Heard it here first. This is good. Can't wait for that press conference with Eddie as well. I have to take some boxing gloves.
Oh, it's going to be good stuff. Hopefully we can make that happen. But, mate, appreciate you coming on. The first Rugby World Cup preview show. Got it for the next, I don't know how many weeks it is, but probably 6 or 8 weeks. We'll be bringing you our predictions to the games, and Surly's obviously going to give us that insight to what it's like over there in France, and then what it's like at the Warriors Grand Final too. It's going to be what a few months ahead.
Yeah, it's going to be tough on the bank balance, but great for the heart, you know. An All Blacks and a Warriors win, come back to Queen Street parades, the airport will be going crazy. Yeah. I'll have two black eyes from Eddie Jones. It's going to be a great couple of weeks.
Yeah, just flick those invoices through and it shouldn't cost you too much.
Yeah, somehow I don't think they're getting covered. But yeah, look, hey, you never know. You never know.
You never know. Appreciate it, mate.
Legend.
Now, since recording this episode, we've found out that there is a fantasy rugby for the Rugby World Cup this year. Super excited about that. It's such a good way to have a little bit of extra interest in a game and banter with your mates. And what me and Surly are going to do going forward is, well, next weekend we'll give you a full rundown of our teams, our fantasy teams, and we'll give you some tips into having what we think the best team is possible. And if you are playing, make sure you join the Waterlad League. There is a link on the Waterlad Instagram page, so go check that out and make sure you get involved in that one. It's about 50 people in there already. Hopefully we grow that to at least over a couple of hundred before it starts and have a bit of fun. Hopefully be able to give some prizes away to the winners too. Also, it is Father's Day on Sunday, so if you're unsure on what to get your old man, get him a Waterlad tee. Make sure you go on waterlad.com right now, order it so that he can have that before Sunday. The black on black one also doubles down as a great All Black supporters top, so it's a win-win. So head over to waterlad.com and go get amongst it. Waterlad.